Hi, welcome to another Expert Insights discussion. Today we explore how connected marketing and revenue strategies are a powerful e-commerce combination, leveraging the hotel's direct channel to drive direct bookings. We also dig into how powering up your hotel website and booking engine, aligning marketing efforts with revenue priorities, and automating these strategies can truly increase conversion. And finally, we look at the value of consumer engagement and personalization through better matched offerings. Joining us are two guests who will share their insights and bring this topic to life. They are Christina Blage, consultant and brand ambassador for UserGuest and CEO of Open Revenue Consulting, and Sam Weston, marketing director for 80 Days. Now, all of these thoughts and views are supported by a recent report that 80 Days did looking at hotel marketing trends, which highlights 11 key findings, and UserGuest's Rev Marketing Certification course, which is focused on higher conversions from your direct channel. And there are also links in the notes below. Really hope you enjoy the conversation. Hi, Sam. Hi, Christina. Thanks for joining us today. Fascinating conversation. I always say that, but I think this one really will. Looking at the amount of prep work that you guys have put into this and also pulling from the data that you're going to be sharing, this should be a really interesting discussion. But before we get into that, for those who are watching and listening to us, I think it will make sense for us to get you guys introduced, and then I can set the scene and get the ball rolling. So Sam, let me pass it over to you. Christina, I'm not being rude, but I've had the pleasure of having a couple of conversations with you before. Sam's new to us, so it'd be great to, Sam, if you could just introduce yourself first, that would be brilliant.
Sure, so I'm Sam Weston. I'm the marketing director for 80 Days. We're a full service and creative and digital marketing agency headquartered in Edinburgh, Scotland, and we work exclusively within hospitality and travel and have done so for the last 20 years. You can count the wrinkles.
Brilliant, thank you. And Christina, over to you if you would.
So my name is Christina Blage. I'm the consultant and brand ambassador for UserGuest. I'm also the CEO of Open Revenue Consulting. And really today is about trying to figure out how we can really support hoteliers to make the most out of their direct channel.
Absolutely. Brilliant. Okay, well, that's kind of teed it up a little bit for us. And that's, so what we're looking at here is, I know there's been a trends report that you guys have done at 80 Days. I know, Christina, with the work that UserGuest have been doing around the Rev Marketing Certification. So there's kind of a combination of bits here that we're trying to bring together, which really will showcase a few of the groundbreaking strategies for increasing brand visibility, direct bookings, revenue, all the things that any hotel is going to want to know about. So what we're going to do, I'm just going to set the scene a little bit in terms of some of the topics that we are going to be discussing. So the things that we're going to be covering are around the conversion state of play, the conversion challenge, booking behavior analysis, key trends and strategies for the year ahead, and then there's some resources and key takeaways to look at the end. So let's get this rolling. What I'll do, Sam, if I can hand over to you, and you're going to be looking at the conversion challenge, and then what we'll do is, Christina, I'll get you to come in and talk to those points afterwards. So Sam, if I can, get your first slide ready for you, and then what we'll do is we'll pull you up and across, and if I can pass it to you and you can take us away with the first area around the traffic and conversion state of play.
Sure. So we looked at the data from around 200 UK hotels earlier this year to look at Q1 data, hotel performance data for this year versus last in Q1. Mm-hmm. And I think before we kind of dive into any numbers, I think it's really important to note that the results are obviously swayed quite heavily by whether you're operating a rural or an urban property and whether you're operating a 4 or 5-star property as well.
And there were marked differences around that. I mean, I know you'll come to some of it, but just to tease us with it.
Yeah, traffic data, first of all, rural and urban. If we look at UK website traffic or sessions data for Q1, we can see it's been a pretty challenging start to the year for 4-star properties. I think that's probably true for the entire UK, mm-hmm. Regardless, again, of whether they're rural or urban properties. But interestingly, less so for the 5-star market.
Okay.
I think this kind of reinforces the trend that we've certainly seen, really, that the luxury end of the market has been less affected by things like the cost of living crisis,
Wonder why
more
that might
so
be.
than the budget end, right? So,
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
yeah, I mean, I'm not booking as many five stars myself, so
Are you not there?
yeah,
So
yeah.
yeah.
So, I guess that's what we've kind of seen in the data, and I think really what all these figures tell us is that the less traffic, conversion becomes even more important. You know, trying to get as much as you can from every single visitor on the site. We have conversion data, like I say, that really, despite kind of less traffic, the conversion rates of both four and five star properties in rural areas has increased year on year, while urban properties have perhaps dropped. And I think that's again reflective of what we've kind of seen industry wide, that leisure bookings have generally been less affected than perhaps corporate bookings.
Okay.
And obviously rural properties generally have a higher proportion of leisure bookings than perhaps an urban property might.
And again,
Yeah.
when you do these kind of things, how much does the are you seeing any trends around sort of the devices? I mean, everyone talks about, oh, it's all on mobile nowadays, you know, whether it's a tablet or desktop. What kind of trends are you seeing around that?
Well, what we see really is that actually everybody talks about mobile first, right? And that's definitely been the case for the last, well, for as long as I can remember. But what's interesting when you look at traffic distribution by device over the last 10 years, it's definitely starting to plateau for mobile.
Oh, right.
So certainly kind of since the pandemic, mobile traffic has shot up, but it's starting to kind of level off and actually decrease a little bit, whilst desktop is starting to kind of show a small sign of increase. I guess that saturation point of smartphones, everybody's got one now, everyone and their mother has got a smartphone now, right? So so it is that kind of point where, you know, there is a limited amount of smartphones in circulation. And interestingly, tablet sort of trickling away a little bit.
I was going to say, yeah, that really seems to have dropped. I mean, that's dropped off quite considerably. I mean, it wasn't a high number anyhow, but it looks like it's gone from maybe a peak at about 11-12% almost down to sort of 4% or something there.
Yeah, around pretty much bang on in terms of the numbers. It seems to be around that sort of 4 or 5% for most properties. I mean, it does vary by property. This is obviously an average, so it does vary by property, and it depends on whether you're an urban or a rural again.
Yeah,
because generally speaking, we see sort of more higher percentage of mobile traffic for urban properties, because again,
corporate business, on their phone.
But yeah, I mean, it's interesting looking at the traffic, but what's especially interesting is actually looking at the revenue, because, you know, despite generating what, 65% of traffic, mobile only generates around 30-35% of revenue.
Go on. I was going to ask, I'll hold my question for a minute.
No, don't worry. I was going to say it's quite interesting, because obviously we talk about mobile first and we talk about the importance of mobile, and of course it is absolutely important. And a lot of people use mobile for information search, to research their travel and their trip planning. But when it comes to booking, like, desktop is still by far the top producing channel, anywhere up to sort of 60-65% of revenue. So really, when we kind of come to kind of recommend changes to websites and user experience on websites, it's really about looking both at desktop and mobile. It's not really a mobile first kind of strategy.
I was going to ask a question on that, and Christina, you're going to talk to us about some of the main conversion challenges. Yeah,
indeed. I mean, there's quite a few for us to keep in view, but it's always about, you know, how well are we able to convert that traffic that, you know, we're bringing to our website? Do we really fine-tune those strategies to specific markets that are really important for us?
Yep.
And do we have a pretty clear strategy between marketing and revenue? So we sort of like work together, as opposed to sometimes we put
work against.
Exactly. It does happen. So in the presence of the right sort of data that everybody's able to visualize and to contrast and to produce those strategies together, it helps certainly a lot. And of course, it has a lot to do, to the point that that Sam was making and you were making, how user-friendly is that whole booking journey? And and your entire process, your entire website? How user-friendly is it? Is it optimized to help you drive that conversion? So I think it will drive a little bit deeper into these details. And one of the main challenge that you will see is actually the most important one, I would say. With all the work that we put in to bring those users to the website, if we're not communicating effectively with them, it's very little that we're going to, or very few of them, are we actually going to be able to flow through to our booking engine. And that flow through ratio is one of the biggest challenges for hotels, is getting people from the website to the booking engine.
Yeah,
and industry-wide stats.
Sorry, go ahead. No, go.
Now, I was just going to say that industry-wide stats, validate that. And they say that on average, between barely 10 to 20% of all the hotel's traffic really make it to the booking engine. And then you really have to accompany that booking process to make sure that you convert it as best as possible.
Have you got any kind of insights into kind of why they're, what you're seeing as some of the challenges, why they're not converting?
I mean, most often it has to do with the level of personalization, I'd say, that you're able to drive with that user. So it's how contextualized can you make that visit for them? They come to your website to get to know your brand and to see how you differentiate from what they find in third-party channels. So if you're not communicating effectively and interactively to make them feel more at ease and more recognized and provide a much more personalized experience, it's very easy to lose them, for them to go and bounce back to the third-party channels, to the OTAs
right.
and other meta channels that they have. So it's, we very frequently, you have to communicate why Booking Direct is a more enhanced added value than
right.
booking through an OTA.
Yep.
If there's any specific incentive that you provide Direct, if there are any offers that you're not actually providing elsewhere apart from your direct channel. And very, very importantly is availability. Get them to understand what's available as they navigate. So availability is not really a concept that's very familiarized with the industry when we talk about website. It sits on the booking engine. So a user would actually have to search for specific dates
right.
to be able to see what inventory have I got available, what dates do I have, and what room categories and other experiences I'm able to offer. Whereas if you bring that availability to the website, you have that extra incentive for them to see, actually, these dates are available. Now, you obviously have to match that when they get to that point and they complete the booking. But I think that's really where the value of quite a lot of technology nowadays sits.
And I know one of the things that's always, it's about trying to also look at kind of the intent of the person that's coming. What are they looking to achieve? What is there available to be able to drive in to help with that booking conversion?
It goes down to understanding in much more granularity that booking behavior and that buying intent. So it's important to really go deeper into those markets to see, okay, which are the markets that ultimately have the higher average spend that I care about, or they stay longer, they have a higher length of stay, or even they tend to book further out in advance. So I could have several competing markets, like, if we're looking at a UK hotel, domestic tends to be the biggest chunk of bookings. And we had a couple of examples there to look at and as we were briefing with you, Graham, and we could see that the average value of a UK booker versus a booker from the United States, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
We could also see that the booker from the UK, would sort of like tend to book about 46 days on average in advance of their travel versus an American, 73
okay.
days in advance of their travel.
Yep.
The value of a UK, of a US booker is much higher because they tend to stay longer as well.
Sure.
So that could be double or sometimes even triple. So is identifying what is the market that I really want to bring on board with how much anticipation, so I can create a really solid business on the books from the American market that helps me get the bigger revenue and the longer length of stay. So that improves also my GOP because I have less cost. particularly in servicing the, I mean, you do service those guests, but the certain elements of cost that will be certainly reduced when a guest stays through.
That
And
makes
then
sense.
is, you know, bringing that UK market within the lead time that they tend to book. So is, again, creating that lookalike intent for you to convert those Brits that are ready to book within that time frame and get more of those ultimately.
And
so that's a yeah.
No, go on.
That's a good example of how you could sit and analyze your direct channel markets, direct markets within your direct channels, so you can ultimately fine tune very specific strategies based on lead time, based on specific occupancy and thresholds that you want to work with, and based on length of stay as well, which is a really important factor for hotels, especially covering shorter nights.
No, that makes sense. Any other data? I mean, in terms of around when people are staying, the day they're staying, how far out they're staying. You mentioned that. Are there other data in there that can be pulled to help influence?
Yeah, I think the other really important data that hoteliers can have in view is what we call demand by stay date. So when you're looking grandly at a particular date, how is it converting? How many people are looking at it, and how is it converting? Based on the price point that I have in, you know, that I'm selling at right now. And if we have the level of integration with more of the demand in the market as well, so if I have a comp set and I'm able to benchmark against that comp set, I can see what's my fair share versus the comp set and how well am I converting versus they're converting. So if I see that my conversion is not as fine-tuned as I'd expect, then course, it's high time for me to discuss that with revenue, or together agree, you know, what changes are we going to be making in the price points that we're putting out there? But what incentives can we drive? What particular room categories we want to put out there, etc. So it's almost like having this data really helps create this almost like an A/B test functionality approach, where you put something out there. You see the reaction, you see the conversion. So whether you work with a promo code, whether you just simply work with the pricing that you're doing, identifying that demand elasticity is extremely crucial. And it just takes the emotion out of the picture.
Yeah, you're
if you
then
like,
looking to see, do we get a spike? Are we seeing a reaction? Yeah. I can see. Yeah.
Precisely. Most often what, you know, hotels would do would forecast that demand and would figure out, are we going to sell out? Are we not going to sell out? But if you can see demand developing in real time in your channel, becomes a really interesting demand signal for your entire revenue strategy that then impacts also third parties and the likes. And I guess the ability to measure that conversion, you also see it in the flow through. The flow through ratio of people, traffic that come into the website that you actually move to the booking engine, that is a very strong indication of what you can really achieve through the right level of analytics, you know, including visibility on how many really book on the first visit versus subsequent visits, what are the type of rooms that they really like, and ultimately comes down to the vices, which Sam has highlighted really well. Very similar
really,
data we're seeing.
Right, let's crack on. So, Sam, you're going to introduce to us that you've just recently put together a trends report, and I am reading here, so forgive me, so I get this right. So, recent 11 trends reports that highlights what you feel that we need to be keeping an eye on and what we feel we need to consolidate on in 2024. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we pulled together this report earlier this year, and it's really just kind of curating trends from across the industry, merging it with some of our data, and really putting some actions against it as well, so that hoteliers can go off and implement changes to their website, to their marketing strategies, to actually, you know, make the difference to the bottom line and conversions, which is what it's all about, right? So
absolutely. Was there any big kind of, I mean, obviously they're all relevant, was there any kind of big takeaway or big, you know, this is the one, or these are the two, or something?
There's 11, so there's 11 big trends. Yeah, I mean there was a lot of data. We I mean I don't think that's one thing we're not short of in the industry, right? Is data and lots of fantastic insights. So it's really just trying to find, and what we're all about is kind of trying to find this actionable insight. So not just presenting data for data's sake, but
Yeah, it's a lot of
actually
sense.
finding, like Christina's just been sharing here, data that can really make the difference. Because at the end of the day, you know, we'll drown in data if we're not careful. It's about finding the right stuff.
Well, it's finding it, analyzing it, distilling it, and then highlighting what's the key stuff. So what did you find? What came out?
Well, one of the first trends that we wanted to highlight really was images everything. And it's perhaps probably the most obvious stat that you'll read all day, I think, is that 95% of guests now report that images and videos are the most important factors in their decision-making process when they're actually making a booking.
Right.
I mean, it's pretty obvious that they want to see where they're going to stay, right?
Yep.
But I mean, what we're finding is that this idea of having high quality imagery and high quality videography and making sure that you're updating it and refreshing it as you do your product, as you invest in your product and refurbish your product, is really important now, more so than it ever has been before.
That's a very interesting point. We wouldn't let our carpets or our furniture or soft furnishings be sitting there looking as if they were 20 years old, but we seem to, with some websites, have images and layouts that look very old.
Hopefully. I mean, at the end of the day, you're investing millions in refurbishing these rooms and your public spaces. You know, the cost of photography relative to that is relatively small.
Yeah, but absolutely.
Potential returns of having strong imagery is massive, you know. And I mean I just speak to my own experience. I wouldn't necessarily book a hotel that had kind of out-of-date imagery, or I mean, I'm a photography nerd, so
okay.
I wouldn't book a hotel
this
that
is,
had
this
like
is
pixelated,
yeah.
pixelated images and things like that. You know, it's all about the sharp high-res photography and imagery, right? So, and what we've seen is that, you know, that's true for obviously imagery, but for videography as well.
Okay.
You know, hotel websites that have video, include video, can generate, you know, anywhere up to 37, 30, 40% of more bookings than those without. So
seriously, 37 to 40% higher bookings if they were embracing video.
Yeah, because again, it's about being able to experience the product, I think, right, before you actually arrive at the hotel, right? So a static image does get you that further along, but video is a lot harder. I mean, again, it comes back to authenticity, and the guest and guest is wise to the fact that you can hide certain things with an image, whereas with video it's a much truer representation of what they're going to get.
And I guess that crosses the divide when you, because the website is just one side of your communication tool, isn't it? You've then got the social media as the other side, and I guess the image play a part, but video is probably playing a greater part now as well on the social side, is it?
Yeah, I mean, video posts generally attract a far higher engagement rate, sorry, than static posts. So
right.
You only need to look at the growth of short form video and on platforms like Instagram with Reels and TikTok to know that that video is just a kind of necessity really in 2024. And what we found as well is that the kind of second trend that we wanted to highlight, which is very much related to imagery and the importance of high quality imagery and videography, is the sort of social boom. And
social
really,
boom,
I know we named them as well, but some of them have more creative names than others. But really, I mean, it's kind of, I think the way to look at it is that, you know, 76% of travelers are visiting your social media page before they're making a reservation. And all the work that you're doing on, you know, the hard work that you're doing in just getting them to your website and getting them engaged with your brand can totally be undone if you're not engaging on social media. You're letting kind of negative comments go unresponded to in the same way that you might on TripAdvisor. You know, it can be quite a damaging thing. So it's really about making sure that you're on top of your social media profiles. And social media, like I say, it is very much booming, because we did some research for last year, and it was the highest growing contributor to a hotel website's traffic year on year. I mean, it's still only 6% of an average hotel's website traffic in 2023, but anywhere up to sort of 15-20% for the high performers shows that it's very much driving, you know, strong traffic. and revenue now. It's no longer just an awareness tool.
And I mean, this is what you're doing all the time, isn't it? I mean, you're working with the client. I mean, have you, you know, what are some of the numbers? Are you able to talk about some of the numbers that, you know, you've seen through the action, through those kind of actions?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the thing is, it's really about highlighting the importance of social media as much as it is any sort of specific channel. But we and the importance of that videography and that imagery and curating that properly and also sharing your audience's content as well, because some of their content can be fantastic. Mm. You know, like not ignoring it as well. You know, we've done a lot of work with a client, Schloss Roxburgh, a Scottish hotel, 5-star hotel in the Borders, and we've grown their Instagram following in the space of 12 months from around 1,000 to 20,000.
Wow.
Just based around this focus on really strong curated content, using their existing assets, cropping their imagery in a different way, and trying to get a bit more creative with it. You know, and some of the other numbers there you can see as well in terms of Facebook and real videos views and TikTok as well. I mean, TikTok's a huge growth channel. Yeah. Still an opportunity there as well to do quite a lot organically rather than having to dig deep into your pocket.
It makes a lot of sense. And that's a great link, because I want to bring in Christina to talk about how utilizing your imagery and within social media, how we can connect this from an e-commerce strategies related to that side of things. What can you share with us on that front?
Yeah, I mean, I think we do such great work that attract users to our website from social media, and we've seen how important social media profiles are. Really genuine opportunity to drive that conversion. And it's really important to be able to drive consistency. So if we've presented something in social media, we want to make sure that we translate all of that information and that the user is able to easily find that information on our website. So the tracking is extremely important, so we can actually reproduce what they have seen on the social media. We can reproduce that right as they arrive to our website. We're able to, number one, recognize them. It's, you know, that's kind of the first point of impression that really impresses them.
Yeah.
Right? It's a good starting point. Hey, you've come from Instagram, you've come from Facebook, you've come from TikTok or whatnot, and actually incentivize them as well. So you're in my front door now. I've managed to get you here. What can I give you that's different that is that it's really drives that value proposition direct, and it differentiates you from other hotels that they may have seen on social media, because it's that extra that we can provide in direct channel. It's just showcasing that, you know, and making sure that it's consistent. I think that's the word, consistency, to help us drive a lot more of that conversion and revenue. And there's various different ways to achieve that. I mean, it's all about how do we communicate that value proposition? And we have so many tools in our tech stack. When we talk about the direct channel, whether it's specific offers, specific promotions, whether it's driving that confidence that they are looking at the best value for money, and that is equally as good, if not better, than what OTAs and other channels would be able to offer. And also to influence those users based on specific demand theories that we have, to look at those dates, because we give them something extra, something more, something that really is contextualized to what they need. And one of the easiest way to communicate it is through smart notifications, because it's engaging, it's interacting, it's interactive, and it's personalized. So it drives, we've seen from our statistics and studies we've done, it drives so much more interaction, and it helps the user pass from the website to the booking engine by personalizing the entire engagement experience.
Which comes back to what we were talking about before, that the importance of doing that. Yeah.
Big time. And these type of technologies allows you to really go and capture data from the website, capture data from the booking engine, and capture data from the PMS to understand what's the availability and what should I really put forward. So the easiest way to describe it is, you know, the ability to create a digital footprint of the user as they walk into your website, to learn what they've searched, what geography they come from, have they stayed with me in the past, and how can I best replicate that behavior in my website, but proactively offering them specific dates, specific offers that really tune in with what they ultimately want to achieve. And quite a few studies have been done and to demonstrate the impact on conversion when you are able to track that data and interactively communicate with the user. Certainly supports the revenue priorities. It helps you increase your length of stay. It helps you increase your occupancy. And overall, you can position products that are certainly much more premium based on different levels of demand that you can convert, which normally you wouldn't.
Makes a lot of sense. Yeah, very much so. Right. Let's talk about something that is going potentially through the biggest change that we've seen since it was almost brought out. And so I'm going to come to you again, Sam, to introduce us to this next trend. And it goes to our good old friend, the search engine. So what can you tell us? What are you seeing? But more importantly, what do we need to be aware of as to what is going on, what is happening in this space?
Yeah, I mean, it's the kind of third trend that we were looking at, really. It's the shape of search, right? And the kind of direction that it's taking. And yeah, it's an interesting one. And it's not necessarily, for want of a better expression, the sexiest area of marketing, right? Because it's been around since day one. We don't talk about it maybe as much as we could and should. And every now and again, I see this kind of headline, clickbait headline of kind of SEO is dead. and I kind of look at the stat that you can maybe see here on screen, that in the last year, over a third of revenue for a hotel website came from organic search. And I think, well, I don't think it's fair to say that it's dead yet. You know? So it's I think it's very much an area of underdevelopment. And I think it's when you actually look at it in conjunction with local search as well, which again accounts for like another 10.5% of overall revenue to a website. You're talking about 45% of overall website revenue to a hotel last year coming from some form of search engine optimization. So if you're neglecting that, if you're not looking at it and investing in it as much as you maybe could and should, it's definitely a cause for concern, I would say. And when you look at like local search, like I say, during the last couple of years, we've seen near me searches growing by over 500%. So like hotels near me, restaurants near me, these types of searches.
So actually with the phrase near me, or just they're putting in the specific location. So if I'm in London.
No, near me. So anything just, like say like five-star hotel near me or Mexican restaurant near me.
Yeah.
These types of searches. Yeah. I mean, they grew massively during the pandemic and they continued that trajectory as well. And like I say, 46% of all searches, every single search around the globe now contains a location. So location is hugely important. So I think really the message here is to like I say, to focus on kind of search in general, local search as well, and be aware of the sort of direction of travel.
Tell us about the new world of search that we're going to
new world of search. Yeah, I mean, it's another acronym. Another acronym, right? Because we needed another acronym in hotel marketing.
Oh yeah.
But it's search generative experience. It's coined by Google, so yeah, they like an acronym too. But Bing has its own kind of equivalent. I'm sure other search engines will come out with the same as well. But
I heard OpenAI really are bringing out a search engine, aren't they?
Sorry?
I heard OpenAI, the behind the ChatGPT, they're plan to bring out a search engine as well or something. So it could be another one to add to the block.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, effectively what search generative experience is, oversimplifying, is essentially ChatGPT or Google's Gemini within a search experience.
I've got you.
So it's more of a kind of conversational approach to search. And it uses AI to kind of really kind of present that more context and more information within that kind of search environment. And it's really centered around trying to kind of keeping you within that kind of search experience, which can be slightly alarming when you first think about it, because it's incentivizing you to stay within search and not visit an external website, a hotel website at the end of the day. So there is a danger that it could reduce the organic traffic that a hotel website receives.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it just kind of further warrants in my mind making sure that your hotel appears within those kind of search results. The good thing is, well, not good thing, but the kind of thing not to panic about right now is that it's not live yet. It's still being tested in the US. Okay. It's not really run in the UK yet. And there's potential for it to be a paid for service. Google's kind of toying with that from what we understand at the moment. So if it's a paid for service, I would imagine that would restrict the user pool quite a lot, because I wouldn't personally pay to search in a different way unless it was really, really good.
Yeah.
So we shall see.
Absolutely. We shall see. What are we seeing in terms of, I mean, you've obviously played a, you had a chance to play around with some of this and see.
Yeah. Well, I traveled to the States cause it's only available there, to look at this. Well, I didn't, I used a VPN cause couldn't budget, but,
I was going to say a bit. Nice.
But yeah, I mean, this is a something that's much easier to explain, I think, with a visual. So on screen here, it's a little small, but you can see this is, imagine you're a traveler in the US, traveling as part of a family of 10,
mm-hmm.
asking Google, you know, where should I stay? This is the search generative experience result for that search within the States. And it's just kind of presenting you a number of different locations within London that you might want to stay.
Okay.
It's listing the different sources of information beneath as well. So it's showing its math.
Right.
And it's also potentially recommending some hotels within that mix as well. So you can see here, you want to be part of those hotels that it's recommending, of course.
Yeah.
And at the bottom there, it's giving you some follow-up questions that you could potentially ask, or you can obviously ask your own as well. And the way the kind of journey goes with this, it could go with this, is you could then follow up and say, well, tell me more information about that particular hotel. And it would present, you know, the kind of top level information, the different amenities, some imagery, some reviews, very much trying to kind of keep you within search. So you don't need to go off to TripAdvisor. You don't need to go off to the hotel's website itself. And I've been through entire journeys with this, kind of playing around with it. And you can even ask it, well, how do I book the, you know, Crown Plaza in London?
Right.
And it will take you off and say, well, now you can book it. You use this telephone number, or you can visit their website. And it will give you all the details and what you need to go ahead and make that booking. So in theory, and I personally wouldn't do this myself, but in theory, you could book a hotel, pick up the phone, book a hotel without ever landing or ever visiting the hotel's website, just purely using search generative experience.
Wow.
So it is a definite change. There is a definite change, obviously, to what we've kind of known in traditional search for a number of years. But the good news is, I would say it's good news, is that you don't really need to change your approach to SEO.
Okay, I was going to ask, based on what we were just talking about, whether this throws it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's potentially kind of a game changer, but it really depends on how far it's implemented by Google and other search engines as well. You always have to say other search engines are doing this.
Other search engines are available, but
yeah, <exactly.
laughs> no one remembers.
We all know
name.
where the bulk of the searches are going, right?
Absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, I think it comes back to, you know, you don't need to necessarily do anything too drastically different to what you're doing at the moment. From our understanding of it as it stands, it's really about focusing on that kind of high quality, relevant content, rich content with lots of details and about your hotel, your amenities, your location, the surrounding attractions, just to give context and information so that Google can include you within that search generative experience.
Yeah.
And maintaining some of the sort of strong SEO principles that you used, that you've done and kind of practiced over the years, really. Local search as well, absolutely important. If 46% of searches now include a location rather, then making sure you've got city, region, other location specific information peppered throughout your content on your website, it's a bit of a no-brainer. But another important one, and one I think really that needs to be looked at, is this kind of idea of reviewing external information about your hotel, third-party information about your hotel as well.
Okay.
Because I guess the way to look at it is if somebody's asking within SGE, if they're asking, you know, is your hotel dog-friendly,
mm-hmm.
And you don't have that information on your website, then Google's naturally going to look around the web and around other third-party sites to try and find an answer for that, to present it within this experience.
That makes sense.
And if that information is wrong, if somebody else on another website says, no, they're not, then you won't appear, or that you'll appear as not dog-friendly when you might well be. So it's really that accuracy of information, and that's a big part of AI, right, is this accuracy of information, how trustworthy is the data.
Christine, I want to tie in, because a lot of what you guys are doing and what you were talking about is about this really targeting, using this information and from, you know, the having those landing pages. You know, how what's your view on what Sam's been talking about from the SEO perspective and the changes, and how do you see that playing out into ways that hotels can be a lot smarter and a lot more focused, targeted, possibly just a bit sharper in terms of what they're doing?
Yeah, I think it goes back to being able to detect that booking intention and mm-hmm. that search behavior that's happening, that local aspect of it, or where the user is actually located, and also look into that revenue priority that we've looked at. Let's try and find that match of the intent and how we can influence these searches. So a good example is things that you can do. You know, you could actually target specific offers to mm-hmm. those people that are searching for specific things from a specific destination via a specific device. You could also target specific traffic sources. You could have dedicated landing pages, you know, if you want to direct them to a specific dedicated landing page. But also when you are taking in, you know, the revenue component of it, you can see, well, where do I need to offer perhaps an incentive to stay longer? Or I have this early bird, you know, I have these specific periods, the specific periods that I really want people to book. If I have an incentive through a promo code, I can just put that in there. And also based on my strategy to convert users or visitors to the second visit, perhaps as opposed to waiting for the third visit, which is, yeah, you know, 2.5 maybe is the average of that visit. Mm-hmm. Not wait for that third visit. Let me try and convert them there and then on the second visit. I think there's quite a few levers that, yeah, that hotels can use.
No, that makes a lot of sense. Perfect. Sam, you've got another trend to introduce to us. I'm not going to read its name out, because I'm going to let you say it.
Hunger Games.
Hunger Games. So we're now going to send our guests out and chase them down. Is that what you're implying here?
Exactly that. Yeah. I mean, it's not quite as violent as the movies, right? But no. I mean, this one centers really on the idea that kind of one of our most basic needs has essentially become one of our biggest wants.
Uh-huh.
It's certainly one of my biggest wants. you know, 82%, you can see the stat on here, 82% of affluent UK travellers ranked food and drink as the foremost point of interest when embarking on a domestic trip. That's from Pride of Britain Hotels.
Okay.
PwC Hotels.
Yep.
2024 Outlook report. So I think really it's just highlighting the importance of food and beverage offering now within the marketplace. It's no longer just kind of a box tick exercise to say, I have a restaurant. It's really what makes it distinctive, what makes it unique, because it's important to the guest.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And how does that, the fact that that's a desire for us, how does that kind of influence or impact decision-making, you know, what we're doing online? Does that have any bearing, the fact that it is so prominent?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen a number of different studies, and one of the studies we saw last year said that about 83% of travellers consider the on-site dining options now as part of that kind of choice of hotel as well. Mm-hmm. So it's very much influencing their kind of decision, not only obviously where to book, but also the kind of their intent to kind of stay and planning trips around their stomach as well. I mean, it's very much the way that it seems to be kind of moving. So
planning trips around their stomach.
Well, but they are. I mean, like we see here, 50% of travelers are planning trips around the specific restaurants and dishes, and 61% want to know, you know, the origins and the information behind the kind of iconic dishes associated with different places that you're going to visit. Mm-hmm. And it's true, right? I mean, when I go to, let me think of an example. When I go to Spain, I want to know about the different options that they might have there. And the only one I can think of right now is paella. But I mean, there's all the different kind of traditional foods. You know, if you're coming to Scotland, you want to know about the haggis, right?
Yep.
So it's really about playing up those national dishes, and if you have them on your menu, making the most of it, because you know, guests care about it. They want to know about, you know, about them, and find out, you know, exactly about the history and the heritage behind what you're offering.
And you're also sharing an example when we were talking about putting this together of how kind of these reality, I don't know whether MasterChef is a reality show, but you were saying there was an example of something there where it had a real impact.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a great example of food and beverage marketing in practice, really. It's one of our clients' exclusive collection. When after the MasterChef, the professionals was kind of resolved, and their winner, Tom Hamlet, took up residency at one of exclusive collections, hotels, restaurants in Camellia this year, with a menu that was inspired by the show, and the table only reservations sold out very, very, very quickly. So it had a real impact on their F&B offering, to the extent where they are offered stay and dine packages as well. So they're now getting revenue from this as well. So yeah, just again, it just highlights the importance of your food and beverage offering, and making sure that you're making the most of it and getting a bit creative and thinking outside the box on it.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Christina, how does that translate across to your world?
Well, I think we just need to shout out about it. You know, we need to put it in the face of our lovely users and potential customers that this is what we have this available. So mm-hmm. it could be, you know, putting in a welcome banner where you can offer that, you know, familiar experience, or, you know, food and wine pairing experience. If you have an F&B outlet, put it out that you are serving haggis, to Sam's point, for mm-hmm. those users and visitors that want to experience that dish. So it's communicating it, creating a promotion around it for people to be attracted to make it unique, because perhaps your next door competitor doesn't really have that offering. So yeah, it sets you apart, and it helps incentivize them to look at your F&B offering. So it's really, really important.
Makes a lot of sense. Sam, next trend. Big word, sure. Big word that we heard a lot about last year.
Yeah, I mean, so, we nearly made it through this presentation without talking about AI. And
then we're going to bring the second word in that was used.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Sesame Street, isn't it? Today's program is brought to you by AI and the word.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really important one, not least because of obviously the impact that it has on the world, but it's important to guests as well. So, I mean, I think we've all seen the stats within the industry that something like 80-90% of guests say that they want to travel more sustainably, and they want to stay more sustainably as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we did some research just on Google Trends to look at how searches have grown for sustainable travel over the last 5 years. And you can see the results here that, you know, over the course of the sort of pandemic, it quietened down a little bit, but then it's just exploded.
Yeah.
So much so that over the last 12 months, 120% growth in searches for sustainable travel. So really, I think they're moving beyond that kind of, you know, there's a real intent really to travel more sustainably and potentially stay more sustainably as well, because over 50% of travelers are now seeking accommodation that blends that kind of comfort with an innovative, sustainable feature as well. So I think the message here is that, you know, if you have got green initiatives and you are working towards B Corp certification, or if you're working with more local suppliers or any of these kind of initiatives, it's absolutely worth having them on your website, because for those that care about this, it'll be really important to them, and it may well make the difference between a booking or not. Yeah. So,
and I guess the biggest challenge is a lot of this stuff. We did a number of videos last year where we were talking to consultants in specific areas of hotel operations around sustainability and some practices that they could bring in. And what became apparent is that a lot of these, they're kind of almost behind the scenes, and one of the biggest challenges is trying to get the message out. And I guess to for your side, Christina, that's where this you know, whether user guest and what you guys are involved with can play a major part in helping to not only get the message, but to your point, Sam, it's like, yeah, if I've got that buying motive and I see that, that can help my conversion. What are user guests doing in and around this space?
Yeah, so I guess it's with user guests, it's about communicating mm-hmm. with the guest what you're already doing. When you're putting so much effort into complying with the new CSRD regulation and all the different initiatives that you have to minimize the carbon footprint of your guest. So it's, how about we also communicate it to them, because there's a lot of consumers that are already aware mm-hmm. of sustainability. They actually are looking for sustainability, and you want to be able to attract those users and also retain customers by being able to communicate you are driving all these sustainable practices. So a really good example is to engage those users into your website and get them incentivized to sign up for your sustainability program and, you know, really adapt to the work that you do. And in exchange, incentivize them with something that actually is meaningful for them. Maybe planting a tree, maybe getting them a drink at the bar if, you know, they don't leave their towels on the floor, but yeah, actually
encourage
they put
sustainable
it nicely.
Practices.
So the housekeeper. That's it. And ultimately, they will feel a lot more comfortable staying in a hotel that does do something good for the planet, and it keeps their carbon footprint in check. So it's about identifying creative initiatives to communicate that as much as possible, beyond having a dedicated landing page, which is a must for all hoteliers around sustainability, is linking that to the consumer behavior to identify those users that are looking for sustainable stays and make sure that you are making that big in front of them.
That makes a lot of sense.
Possibly Sam, a sweeping generalization. I was going to say it's possibly a sweeping generalization as well, but certainly what we found is the Gen Z, the younger market as well, is very much, you know, especially passionate about sustainability. So again, using some of the tools at your disposal to identify those younger demographics visiting your website and maybe, you know, pushing up the priority of content around sustainability for them, I think would be quite wise.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Now you guys have there was a couple of resources that you've made available. So Christina, if you just want to mention your resource that you are making available.
Yeah, so a lot of the strategies and ideas that we've tried to share within this great webinar. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Trevor, for putting this together. You will find more of these as you go through the certification process. We've actually put together a Rev Marketing course, so you can really learn about all of those little activities or big activities that you can do to bring together revenue and marketing and make sure that you are making the most and you're delivering that higher conversion in your direct channel. So please feel free to scan the QR code and sign up for it. It's a free resource. It takes you less than 2 hours, and you'll feel certainly a lot more reinforced after you finish that course.
Brilliant. Sure. Thank you. And Sam, you've got a bonus sure. For those that have stuck with us.
I mean, this is really just the full trends report. So it's all of the 11. So I think we've sampled 5. But if you want to hear what wacky names we've given some of the other trends, then Authentic Fakes was my favorite. But you can scan the QR code there and download the report for free. I would argue it's an interesting read, but then I'm probably slightly biased.
And Hotel Benchmark?
Yeah, so this is just where we got all the data that we presented at the start of this presentation as well. And it's just a really valuable tool for hoteliers, a free tool for hoteliers as well. The basic product's free. So all the data that you saw at the start here is all amalgamated data from Google Analytics. Mm-hmm. And you can sign up your hotel for Hotel Benchmark to try and put your performance in context, so your marketing performance, your website performance in context. So you'll be able to answer, you know, is my conversion rate good, bad, or indifferent?
Perfect. Well, look, thank you both for the time that you've committed to the Trends Report. the time that you've committed to put this together today and the time that you've committed to talk us through it all. Hopefully those that are watching and listening could understand why I was particularly enthused about this session when we could look at how much information you were going to share. And I think it just shows the value of when you're connecting those marketing and revenue strategies, how powerful they are, how the leverage in the hotel's direct channel to effectively drive direct bookings, automating the engagement with the consumers, really trying to find that right match is so powerful. But secondly, it's powering up the hotel's website and the booking engine, complementing the marketing efforts with those revenue priorities, making sure those two things are properly aligned, and then automating those strategies to really ensure it's all about the guest now. It is the guest experience, but the guest experience starts the moment they come to your site, the moment they engage with you. So making sure that what they are looking for is available, you're aligning your marketing with your revenue, you're catering to what they're looking for, you're personalizing that experience. That has surely got to drive to greater conversions, which ultimately is going to drive us to greater revenue, which is what we're trying to achieve. So that's my takeaway from it. Anyway, any final thoughts from you guys?
I would just say we invite any hoteliers that feel that they could use a website audit to join us into a conversation, because I think there's quite a few things that we could help them with.
Good point.
Help them identify or perhaps work on. So you're very welcome. You have our contact details there on the screen for anybody who wants to get in touch. And thank you all very much for your time. It's been a long but informative, hopefully, webinar. Thank you so much, Sam. Right. Thank you so much, Trevor.
Thank you. And Sam, any final thoughts from you?
Yeah, I'll just echo, really. I mean, I think to get that context of whether your performance is good or bad, then we have that hotel benchmark, hotelbenchmarking.com, that will help, validate, well, yeah, I should speak to Christina.
Perfect.
And Sam.
Going to say, speak to you both. Get you on a joint call. You'll get it sorted.
We like to chat.
Really? I couldn't guess. Brilliant. Well, thank you both of you. Really, really appreciate your time. It's been a pleasure to have you join us.
Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Christina and Sam for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. You can contact us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. And if you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. At the end of that video, you'll also see the QR codes to access the study and the course. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.